Okay, I'll read the pasuk again very quickly. L'chein yifakoyam Hashem, so says Hashem, Shafti l'yishlam berachamim. I will return. Hashem promised that he will return to Yishlam berachamim. Shafti, Beisi yibone bo, my home will be built bo in Yerushalayim. Nu'am Hashem tzivakos. V'kov yinote al Yerushalayim. And a cover plumb line will be expanded, will be spread on Yerushalayim. We learned yesterday two interpretations what this means. Either it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to build, he's going to build, or it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to measure. The Mitzubah stuff, it says it means to build. The cup is a symbol of a plumb line. It's the first step in construction. And according to Rashi, cup means it's a measuring rope. It's not here to be used as a plumb line, it's a measuring rope. What's interesting is, there are a lot of different differences between Rashi and the Mitzubahs. One, by the way, represents vertical, one is horizontal. According to the Mitzubah Stavit, that says kav means a plumb line, here the kav is a vertical cord. According to, because you have a weight on the bottom of this rope, and when it settles, you have a perfectly straight line. According to Rashi, it is measuring rope, which is a horizontal measurement. Okay, there's a very big difference between something horizontal and something vertical. And horizontal, talk about the snake. Al gechoin chatelech, the curse of nice liberations to the nachash. From the nachash, what?
Where did that connection come from?
Because the snake originally stood, Chazal say, straight, was vertical. Was perfectly vertical, had legs, was an oimate. And then the curse was, al gechoincha telech, you will now be a creature that is horizontal, that goes on its belly. It went from being a vertical creature to a horizontal creature. Vertical represents bein odom lamokoin. Horizontal represents bein odom lachaveroi, the spin of the earth. Now, don't get me involved in Christianity.
No. Science said that they now found 20 years ago, they discovered that the original snakes had legs.
He did that, right, okay.
They have legs. They're in the body, but they had legs.
And man has a tail. Man, supposedly, there's scientific evidence to prove that man originally had a tail. When a baby, an embryo is formed, the end of the spine, it appears to be some indication that the man Adam had a tail. There's some discussion about that as well. But in any event, there is in the Olam HaMachshava a lot of discussion about the difference, the symbolism of something that is vertical versus the symbolism of something that is horizontal. And Chazal give you, and you know, we all can find all this Torah where it says, what is the center of the Torah? The Vav de Gochain. What's the Vav de Gochain? What is the Vav? A hook. What is the letter Vav? Vav is a hook. A hook.
Vertical.
The letter Vav is the most vertical letter of all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. It's perfectly straight. That's a Vav. Vav is straight. I know on top it turns a little bit, but generally that's what a Vav is. Okay, generally the Vav is straight. And what is the Gochain? Gochain was the curse to the Nochash. No longer will you stand straight. You will now go on your belly. You'll be vertical. When Chazal say that the center, the middle letter of the Torah is the Vav de Gochain. By the way, it's not. If you want to count the letters of the Aleph Beis, Vav de Gochain is not the middle letter of the Torah. There are approximately, I've got the number, 300,000 and change letters in the Torah. And Vav de Gochain is not the center letter. So when Chazal say Vav de Gochain is the center, it means obviously something different. But one of the drushim of the center of the Torah is the Pinimius HaTorah, is the intersection of Ben Odom LaChaveroi and Ben Odom LaMokoi. A Vav is a vertical letter. From the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, it is the most vertical. Something that is vertical is straight, being up to Shemayim. Bein Odom LaMokoin. Al Gechoincha Telech was a statement, you no longer will stand straight. You will now lie flat on your belly horizontal. something horizontal, which goes from here to here to here, represents the earth. Bein Adam la chaveroi. The Torah gives us two types of mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs bein Adam la chaveroi, and there are mitzvahs bein Adam la mokoi. There are some people that enjoy the mitzvahs bein Adam la mokoi so much, they're willing to trample upon people. They'll do anything to do the mitzvah bin Adam la Mokoim, even if they have to murder someone. They ran up in the Beis HaMikdash, they ran up the Mizbeach, who was going to be Zoiche, to do the Avodah, to bring the Korbanos, to bring an offering to Hashem. And if your competitor gets in your way, you take a knife and you stab him, and you kill him. And you make sure you don't kill him right away, because if you'll contaminate him, if he'll die, then you'll be metame the mikdash, and you can't do the avodah either. So just mortally wound him, that he'll die later in the day, enough time to get his body out of the Beis HaMikdash before he contaminates you on the Beis HaMikdash. Sounds absurd, right? That's what happened. Their passion to be mekayim, the vertical mitzvahs, overwhelmed the horizontal mitzvahs. They couldn't care less, they would murder. And then you have people who pervert religion, and everything is about, you have to be good to your fellow man at the expense of ignoring what Hashem told you to do. Talk about reform, conservative Judaism, talk about all the corruption and the perversion of Yadus, is all in the name of, you have to be good to man. You have to be good. Adam l'chaveru. Adam l'chaveru trumps. Bein Adam l'makom. You can ignore what it says in the Torah. So what is the penimius? What did Chazal say? What is the penimius of the Torah? The core of the Torah is the intersection of the mitzvahs. Bein Adam l'makom and bein Adam l'chaveru, where every single mitzvah is balanced and has the sensitivity to fulfill both directives. To do what Hashem's command is for you to do, at the same time, following Hashem's command to be good to your fellow man. Yeah. Yes.
See an overemphasis on Bein Adam l'makom, and they see too many, unfortunately, examples
of a lack of bein adam l'chaveru.
Uh-huh.
Like to now with all the shuls,
you know.
Yeah, right. So that's
I wish they were totally wrong about that.
Okay, there's a little musr there from Rabbi Chol. So we have a lot to work on. But so I just find it to be very interesting. Here, then we're describing over here the kavetz not al Yerushalayim. We have a machlekes between the Mitzudah Stavit, so far the Mitzudah Stavit and Rashi, as to what the cord is. What is this kaf? Is it a vertical kaf? Is it a horizontal kaf? If it's a vertical kaf, it seems to, you can maybe, you know, I am Panam Mutar, you can maybe try to suggest is that the rebuilding of Beis Yibon Abon Lum Hashem Tzivok is for Kavinata Al Yerushalayim is going to be a new shefa of Kedusha Ben Adam Lam Mokoyim. And according to Rashi, no. The new shefa of Kedusha that will come down to this world in times of Mashiach will be a vertical, a horizontal cord of measurement, which is symbolic of there's going to be new peace, understanding amongst ourselves. Horizontal, you're going, bin Adam
l'chaveru. They're not mutually exclusive.
They're not. No, that's as I told. They go hand in hand. But what is the entry? What is the focus? I mean, over here, Rashi and the Mitzudas have a disagreement as to what this kav is. Is it a measuring cord, or is it a plumb line? Now, there's another one on the point we have to keep in mind is that according to the Mitzudas, the pasuk appears to be backwards, because first it says Beisi Yiboneba, my home will be built. So the word Yiboneba doesn't sound like you're going to the architect. It sounds like the bayis will be built brick and stone. And then it says, the kav yinote al Yerushalayim will extend the plumb line. I think that if we were writing these psukim, we would put the second pasuk first, or the second expression first. First, you lay out the plumb line. You lay out the guides for construct, and then you bone it. Then you build it. It will be built. It would appear to be backwards, whereas according to Rashi, it's a bit better, because first it says my bayis will be built, ba, and then we will expand. We will measure Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim will be measured. Almost sounds like it's going to be expanded. The city of Yerushalayim will be measured width and length. What?
But it's also, you know, all of Yerushalayim seems to indicate something coming from the top down.
Al
over Yerushalayim.
Lukav Yinote will be spread out. What does it mean, the word Yinote? Yinote is not such an easy word to translate either. Well, it all depends on the word kav. If kav means a plumb line, so economy means things like will be dropped.
Well, it means to be stretched out.
To be stretched out. You don't by a plumb, you don't stretch. The plumb line, you tie a weight and you just drop it. It's not really called stretching. When you're dealing with measuring ropes, so it's more like spreading out. Okay, it's not such an easy word to translate. According to the Mitzudos Tzion, well, he's Lishitasa, who says the word kav means the plumb line. You know, Tim Loshon Hatoya, Hatoya means to tilt. None of the above means to tilt, which basically means it's not tilting. It's drop.
Stretching.
It was
Zroya Hanituya
with an outstretched arm. Zroya Hanituya, an outstretched. Okay. It represents an extension. All right, this is the pasuk. Then pasuk Yud Zayin said, "Oy kara lemar, call out, saying, 'Kol Hashem tzavakas, oy tifu tzeno.'" And then we have this very, very painful pasuk. This pasuk which says that the Bayis Sheni is not going to be the end. The Bayis Sheni is just going to be a temporary dwelling. A temporary dwelling in order to prepare the Bayis Sheni. The pasuk, it's very clear. Chazal say this, but a lot of people don't know this for some reason. And the pasuk, he really says it. The purpose of the Bayis Sheni, it was meant to be the Bayis Shlishi. It was hoped that the Bayis Sheni would mushroom into the Bayis Shlishi. It started off as just a shell, a skeleton of the Bayis Rishon. It was hoped that it would eventually develop. Kedusha would the Klal Yisrael would do teshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would use the bayis that they built as a springboard to restore the full glory of the Shechina and the full honor of the Jewish people in this world. It never happened. And here the Navi is predicting that it's not going to happen. And instead, there's a different focus. And the focus is, if this bayis will not turn into the real deal, let us at least use this bias as an inspiration, a flu shot, a vaccine for the next 2,000 years, for the next 1,950 years. Let's take this bias. This bias is going to be basically, we have 420 years. We're going to The collective neshama of Klal Yisrael is going to absorb the sanctity of this makom as basically an antidote or a vaccine, okay, for all of the diseases and illnesses that are going to be thrown our way in the next 1,950 years after the bias is taken away. Let's use this, and if we did not have this experience, this bias during these 420 years, we would never be here today. We would never survive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if the bias anyway is not going to make it, the bias is going to be destroyed, and anyway it's not going to be the real deal, so why bother? So let the Jewish people, let them just remain in Bavel, let them sit there, let them build nice, fancy houses, and have good pizza shops, and restaurants, and entertainment centers, and make a lot of money, and have a good time, and go to shul on Shabbos, and have a Yom Tov, and just wait for Mashiach for 2,000 years. What's this all about? The answer is, we wouldn't be here today. The influence of the Umay Sa'olam would just swallow us up. We would assimilate, and we would be gone. We would have disappeared long ago. giving us this gift that we did not deserve for 420 years, it energized us. It gave us the tools to prepare and to survive for the next 1,950 years.
This is the last we see what happened after 70 years.
They assimilated. They assimilated.
The assimilation was terrible.
They married. Ezra Nehemiah, they all married men, they all came with non-Jewish wives. They forgot the holy language. There are two major tragedies that happened. There were three major tragedies that are clear as day. Number one, they forgot their own language. No one knew how to speak Hebrew anymore. No one knew Hebrew. Number two, intermarriage. They all married non-Jews. Number three, they lost the love of the land. Eretz Yisrael did not mean anything to them. Didn't mean to know. We have the law of return. Koresh said you all can go back. Who took him up on the offer? 5% of the exiles. The same percentage as the number of people who came back to Eretz Yisrael after the establishment of the state of Israel. After the law of return was enacted and any Jew from anywhere in the world gets automatic citizenship in Eretz Yisrael, who took up the state of Israel on that offer? 5% of Jews living in the world at that time, 75 years ago, the same exact percentage of Jews who listened to Ezra and Nehemiah and returned to Eretz Yisrael. History repeats itself. And we were severely, severely received Musar from the Nevi'im for not being Moser Nefesh for Eretz Yisrael and the time of Ezra and Nehemiah.
Rabbi Levine. Yes. Rabbi Levine, good morning. My father, Lashom, had a cousin who was very prosperous. He had a very good business, and he picked himself up, I think it was a year later, 1949, with his whole mishpacha, and he sold his business, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. And a year later, he came back without a penny. He couldn't make it there, and that was it.
You're right. That's the answer. That's the answer. Kesef ya'ana es hakol. And it, you can imagine it was probably infinitely more difficult then. In the time of Ezra Nehemiah, there was incredible hatred for the Jews. It was much, much more dangerous. And absolutely, I'm not second guessing anyone. It's a fact. You couldn't survive. And it took enormous mesiras nefesh to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing to talk about. Okay, there's no one's blaming anyone. No, not it's not a look at us over here. Who's to talk? All right, no one's blaming one. Just saying how unfortunately there are patterns in history. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, so there were three terrible tragedies that happened. Number one, intermarriage. Number two, they lost their love of the land. Number three, language. They forgot their language. Today, we have the same problem. It's a very same exact problem. The Jews living in Golis and Chutz Yaretz, intermarriage rates, okay, I'm talking about, is what, 80%, something like that? There's a lot of discussion now, a lot of discussion the last even year or two about the lack of chibah of Eretz Yisrael, that we there's always Jews, even secular Jews. There was something about Israel, there was something about Eretz Yisrael, something romantic about Eretz Yisrael. Even for a secular Jew, it was the nitzitz, the spark that burnt in the soul of every single Jew about Eretz Yisrael. And today,
what was that?
Are you saying Zionism? I don't know what it is.
An ideological spark or a religious spark?
I don't know. Whatever it is. But there was a romantic yearning for Eretz Yisrael.
We're in what they call the post-Zionist era.
Michal, he knows this stuff in his sleep. Okay, we're now in the post-Zionist era where we have a problem. We have a very big problem about our love for the land. And what about language, the Hebrew language? I don't know how that would translate. I guess it means knowledge. Do we really know our history, our legacy? I don't know. I'm not coming to Mekatrek, but history.
Here and in Israel, they talk a lot about Jewish illiteracy.
Jewish literacy. Jewish illiteracy. So that's, is that a substitute for they forgot Lashon HaKodesh?
No.
Kodesh is holy. The holy language represents where we come from, the holiness of the Jewish people. And today, they're rewriting history. And or there's an incredible degree of ignorance in amongst Jews about their own history.
Right.
And you see the same three issues that occurred in the time of Ezra, only 70 years after the Churban, we have today in our generation, or really post-Holocaust, I mean, post-Holocaust, it's not true, more now. And it's definitely very frightening. But any that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of Eretz Yisrael in order to boost Klal Yisrael. And that's what this pasuk over here says. It says, Od Kiro Lemar Koyam Hashem Tzvokas Od Tifut Sena Orei Nituv, that my ode, it's going to happen again where my city will be dispersed. The people living in Yerushalayim will be dispersed over the entire world. Mitoiv, from the good. Urei Bituv Yerushalayim. Okay, the good from the good. But then Hashem says, even though unfortunately there will be a Churban Bayis Sheni and there will be Galus, there will be a Geula. The Geula will come at the end of days. This year is the year. Tav Shin Pei Aleph. 1,951 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni is when this Pasuk will be fulfilled in its full glory. Mirtz Hashem. Hashem will give comfort to Tzion. Uvachar oid birushalayim, and Hashem will choose. That's a very challenging pasuk. What do you mean to choose? What do you mean Hashem will choose again? What does that mean? Kedusha shniyah kitshal l'shaita v'kitshal l'asalavo. It's already been chosen. What does it mean to choose again?
It means the gilui shechina.
Okay, but
I would like to say something about the comparison between then and now.
Yeah.
I was there at Hakamat HaMedina. I was 11 years old, so I knew quite a bit. The difference is when Bezman Ezra, Eretz Israel was desolated. Nobody owned it. Nobody sat there. There were some neighbors around them, but they didn't say that this is their country. Now, in 1948, the Arabs who sat in Eretz Israel with the vast majority of the inhabitants, Jews were only 600,000. And so that's what it is. Not only this, but the entire Muslim world was said that this is their land, their country. So when they fought, In 1948, when my father went to the army and he fought in Lebanon, I remember that. That was the time that Mesirut Nefesh, much, much more than in Bizman Ezra, they had to fight for Eretz Israel. And that's why Jews from the outside says, don't go, especially the religious Jews. Religious Rebbeim said, don't go to Eretz Israel, wait for the Mashiach. And that's why the majority now is secular and not religious, unfortunately. So it's kind of, there is a comparison and there is no comparison. The ownership of Eretz Israel, the love of Eretz Israel, who came there? The Russians. After the pogroms and all these things, they came. Ben Gurion and his chevre. So they knew they fought for Hebrew. They fought for Eretz Israel. The only thing religious is a religion is another subject. But two out of three were fine. I mean, the language and the Eretz Israel, the love for both of them were magnificent, magnificent. And I remember those times. Ben Gurion stood only Dabru Ivrit, no Yiddish, Dabru Ivrit. I remember on the radio constantly. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Baruch Hashem. That's why we have Ken Yirbu, 7 million Jews in Eretz Israel. It's only because of those irreligious kevayachol.
It's undeniable. What you're saying is undeniably true. You can't Absolutely. Okay, but absolutely. You've said it all.
Yeah, that's the story. Yeah. If we keep saying we have that country,
it's safe that people. That
yes, I just wanted to comment on that. I think I had once mentioned it to you, Rabbi Levine. Reb Simcha said on this, the nevuah that it says, you know, kol barama nishma b'ita. So it says two times that Klal Yisrael is coming back. First it says, v'shavu me'eretz oyev. That's what Reb Kalman was saying. Shavu me'eretz oyev. There are pogroms, there's everything. They're coming back because anti-Semitism. But then we are witnessing the second part of the nevuah. It says after that, there's going to be a weeding out. There's going to be an arachim, there's going to be balei tshuva and everything. The final part is v'shavu bonim ligvulam. The end by Mashiach, it's bonim. And we're seeing the Baal Tshuva movement in Eretz Yisrael is tremendous.
Yes. Absolutely.
This is what we're seeing. It's true what Reb Kalman was saying. Yes, I know I was born in Europe. My aunt, Aleha Shalom, went to Eretz Yisrael. And she sent back to my father at the time. We were still in Europe. And she said, don't come. The matzav here is terrible. Many people didn't come because the matzav was, I'm not talking about the matzav aruchni, I'm talking the matzav agashmi.
Yeah, it was impossible. That's
the yes.
Same. People that would be moisunef to survive, just to live, have what to eat. I mean, the level of poverty was just unreal, what these people went through. And even today also, it's not so simple for everyone. It's
Abraham, you know who I was referring to before?
Yes.
Schleimer, Gershon's father.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Well, they say about there's a story. I don't remember all the details, but they said there was a vecha in the town to wake a person goes around to wake everyone up for shachars. So there's some, you know, some people that they're asleep in their deep sleep, and the rav of the town, he appoints one of the low lives, one of the low lives of the city, gives him a job. It's your job to go and wake up everyone for slichas erev Rosh Hashanah. You go and you bang at 5 o'clock in the morning. You bang on their window and wake them up. Make sure everyone in this community, all of the tzaddikim, the chassidim, the tanimim, the kedoshim, they come to daven to slichas 5 o'clock erev Rosh Hashanah. So he goes, gets up in the morning, he bangs on the window, and they wake up and they say, "Who's banging on the window to get me to come to shul? Him? The shagets? This guy?" You go back to sleep, and what happens? They miss slichas. They miss davening. So later in the day, the Rebbe says, "What happened? How could you miss? How could you not come to shul erev Rosh Hashanah to slichas?" So he says, "You know, what came to wake me up. The shagets came to wake me up." So the Rebbe says, "So what? Who cares? He came to wake you up. Wake up and come to shul. You're a tippish. So, unfortunately, from the perspective of many of the people who consider themselves very, very religious, what was the wake-up call in our generation? The secular Zionist movement was the vecher. It came to wake us up. So it knocked on the door and says, come back to Eretz Yisrael. Come, Eretz Yisrael. Who's waking us up? Unfortunately, the irreligious. People who are completely irreligious, who, you know, you can say whatever you want to go say, but it's they're not like the same we're used to. And what do we do? Oh, if they're the ones who are waking us up, we're going to go back to sleep. And it's a chaval. It's a chaval because we went back to sleep, and here we are. We missed the boat. So,
yeah,
It's a complicated world, and you have to be very careful. All right, let's go further. So we learned we chazed, we said some new ideas. We went through something. Now let's take a look over here at these last two pesukim, pasuk Kezvav and pasuk Yitzayin in the Radak. The Radak is very, very short. I'm just going to read it to you because I'm just going to read because it's very, very short. If you have a safe in front of you, maybe you probably have a Radak, and I would imagine you have a Radak in front of you. Let me just read it. Lochein koyemar Hashem v'kovek siv behei b'mishkol noveh ukri b'loihei v'hukav ha'binyon ha'chut shenoitin al ha'nidvach. Okay, so he's just focusing the Radak on the kri uksiv. I told you yesterday a different idea. Let me review what I told you before we learn the real pshat. The make-believe pshat, what I told you is the word kaveh comes from the word to yearn. Kaveh el Hashem chazak. It's to yearn, a yearning. When you build something, you yearn. I told you about the Panovich Arav, about when he built Panovich, he made a drasha that when they laid the foundation stone, the tears that went into the cement, the liquid that's used to make the cement to lay the foundation stone with tears. Hazoyrim v'dima b'rini yiktsaru. There's hope, there's yearning. Okay, that's one approach to learn the kri v'chsiv. When you lay the plumb line, when you put down the foundation stone, it has to be with a yearning. It's a very good drasha. This pasuk, if you know Nach, you have a drasha for a cornerstone laying ceremony. But the Radak does not say that. The Radak says the word kaveh comes from the word is noveh. Noveh means an abode. Now, question over here is, where did he get the nun? Where did he get the nun? He's just taking the letter. I took kaveh. Kaveh is the kuf, is part of the shoresh. Kuf. The Radak says, no, the kuf is not really part of the shoresh. The real shoresh is the letters vav and hey, and we append the letter nun, nove, an abode, ze keli ve'an vehu. Okay, ve'an vehu, nove, ani vehu, is an abode, a dwelling place. A plumb line is, of course, related and associated with an abode, because that's what you do. You build something, it has to be perfectly level, so the two are also related. Okay, then there's one more pasuk, one more of two lines in the Radak. Od kira tifutzena arei mitov meirov tayva v'shalom sheyir lochem tifutzena heina v'heina kolam sheyirba hayishov v'nicham patoch v'hu mibinyan hadagosh. The Radak does not enjoy the pshat of the Mitzudos who came much later. He does not want to put a negative twist, a negative understanding of this pasuk. The pasuk in the Radak Yitzayin does not, in any sense of the word, in any way, mean that Hashem is a prediction that the Bayis Sheni is going to be destroyed, and the word Tifutzena is to be translated that the people who dwell in Yerushalayim will be dispersed to the four corners of the world. He rejects that, but instead he says the word Tifutzena means it's a good word, blessing will spread to every corner of the land of Eretz Yisrael. So he reads the pasuk of Hashem Tzvachos, O Tifutzena, it will happen once again, Arai Mitov. The word, we take the word Tov means the good, the blessing will be injected, will spread. We put the word Tov and Tifutzena together, the blessing that I will send to Eretz Yisrael will expand and spread to every portion of the city. And at that point in time, Hashem will give comfort to the residents, to the people who return from Golos. So in the Radak's understanding, we are not describing, predicting a future Churban. The pasuk is to be interpreted only in a positive sense. Okay, Rashi was silent. Rashi had no comment on this. It was the Mitzudos David who told us that this pasuk is to be understood in reference to a second Churban coming later on. Now we're going to see the Malbim, and for that I'm going to put it on the screen. Okay, we're going to learn the Malbim inside. The best that I can. It's a little bit bent page. Please give me one moment. Okay, koi amar, koi lochein koi amar Hashem shafti liyushalayim berachamim. I will return to Yerushalayim with mercy. Ritzoinoi loymar. This means to say. Lochein yefaruchuch rachti lashuv liyushalayim. Shehagam she'ein at adayim zman ha'gula ho'asidah. Even though right now it's not yet the time of gula ho'asidah, ani oyseh zeh mitzad midas harachamim mitzad onyam v'tzorosam. That the Jewish people are suffering due to the fact that they suffer. It is my duty to relieve them from their suffering. V'gam beis yibon ebol shalachin yeh at ha'binyan ha'bayis she'yeh lochem mokim l'hispalel shom u'lisakim ma'aseihem. Now I'm going to give them the Beis Hamikdash. They can daven there. They can be misaking their deeds, tikkun, and to bring tzedek olamim, and to bring the tzedek. What does that mean exactly? Mashiach im yizku. Okay, this is basically the Malbim is saying the idea that we said today, that this bayis sheni, if you want, can mushroom into the bayis shlishi. It's up to you. We went to give a whole shiur on this. And I told you, I strongly believe, I told you, I'm not repeating the whole shiur now, but I told you that's, I really believe that was what the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe really believed. He really believed it's just to get things moving along. What's so terrible if you pick a person to be the Mashiach candidate? Trump said, who's stopping you from building the Beis HaMikdash? Who's stopping you? You want to build a Beis HaMikdash? You want to build your temple? Go right ahead. Who's stopping you? Negotiate. Negotiate with the Palestinians to let you build on the Temple Mount the Beis HaMikdash. For enough money? For enough money? What? You don't like that? The Arabs. For enough money, you can build a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you give them enough money, they'll let you build the base. He's really right. Trump is right. Who's stopping you? Go build the base on Migdash. Problem is, we can't get our act together. We think that the Mashiach is going to come out of the sky. In the time, the Malbim says, we're not going to be holding is that what they did during the time of the Bayis Sheni is they started off with a skeleton. They didn't, no, miracles didn't happen. No one came on a white horse from the sky. A base on Migdash from a fire did not descend from the heaven. They went and did construction like everyone else. They laid the bricks. They got a work order, work permit order. They did it on a very basic, simple, mundane level. And the goal was eventually the Shechina would return as well. And that's exactly what it says. That's exactly what it says here in the Malbim. I'm giving you now a place. You have a lot of pain. So I'm going to give you a place, just a shul. The Beis HaMikdash is nothing more than a place to daven. It's a big shul, a place where ulasakein ma'aseihem. There'll be lectures in the Ezras Noshim on the Temple Mount, and then you'll be able to be at ulachavi. And if you merit, if you behave yourself, then Hashem says we'll bring the tzedek olamim, an expression which means Mashiach will come. But you got to get the ball rolling. At this point in time, they only had permission to build the bayis. They did not have permission to build a wall around the city. That's an important point. They had no permission. Achnas Eshim Le'artach Shasta Alidei Nechemia. That took place after Daryove Shaparsi. It was his son or his grandson, whose name was Artach Shasta. And that took place in the lifetime towards the end of the life of Nechemia, when they had permission to build a wall around Yerushalayim. So the Malbim over here is teaching us something very important, that the Kov is not for the bias. When we learned the Mitzudos David, he explained to us that the plumb line was for the Beis HaMikdash, was for the bias. And again, the Rashi says none of the above. It's to measure the land. Whereas according to the Malbim, the Kov Yinata al Yerushalayim is the wall of Yerushalayim. A vertical wall, that's why a plumb line is perfect. It's a vertical wall. And it makes a lot of sense also why now we answer our other question that the psukim are out of order. The expressions are out of order. If according to the Mitzvah Stavit, if the plumb line... What?
Isn't the wall both horizontal and vertical?
Okay, fine. So let's put that aside. But what about the order? The order. Why is the order first the bias? And then the kavanot, according to the Mitzvah Stavit, if the kavanot is for the bias, so first you lay and put out the plumb line, and then you build the bias. But according to the Malbim, it makes a lot of sense. Well, first is the bias, and then 20 years later was the binyan, was the chaim, was the wall. So that's what it refers to. The achsid, then the Malbim says, it says the kriv achsid, it says in the pasuk, it says kaveh, okay, that's on the screen that's cut off. You don't have it on your screen, but it says kaveh, with a hey, milosh, that's the ksiv, miloshon tikva. That's how I explained it yesterday. Not like the Radak that says it means a noveh. According to the Malbim, the kuf is part of the shoresh, hope, tikva, the yichul, yearning. And if indeed they will do teshuva, their deeds will be good, then the anger will come to an end. So look at this, isn't it amazing? They already built the bayis sheni, and it's still considered to be a time of anger. It's 20 years into the beginning of the bayis sheni, and it's still a zman of zam. But if the people will do teshuva and will steadily return to Hashem, Hashem will take away his anger, he'll return to Shechina, and it will turn into the ultimate Mikdash with the Gili Shechina, and will then become the Yemos HaMashiach. Unfortunately, we did not merit that. Next, Pasuk Yitzayin, Od Kiro Leymar, V'od Todiyim Dover Acher Sha'agu'ula Hazos Eina Ha'agu'ula Ho'amitis. The Malbim is following in the ways of the Mitzudois. Tell the people that this redemption is not the end of days. Ki o tifutsena orai. Sh'oid yiglu bagoyla alidei horoi miyim. This bias is only temporary. It will be destroyed. The Romans will destroy this bias. V'yafutsu sheinis bo'amim. He learns, not like the Radak word v'yafutsu, like we said yesterday in the Mitzudos, that means you the people. The subject, what is the subject of the word tafutsu? We have a disagreement. According to the Malbim and according to the Mitzudos, the subject is the people. The people will be dispersed. According to the Radak, the subject is the toiv, the blessing. The blessing will spread. What is the subject? It's always the question you have to ask when you learn a pasuk. You have a word, an expression. What is the subject? According to the Mitzudos and according to the Radak and Malbim, the subject here is the people. The Jewish people, they are the subject and they will be dispersed. And they will be denied, they will be dispersed, denied from the blessing that they had in the Bayis Sheni. But worry not, the day will come when Hashem will have Rachmanis. After the war of the Yevanim, Shebidlu es Avodas Beis HaMikdash, after the Yevanim, the Mucham of the Yevanim, they were mevatel the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, sheze to yuchas litzion. He's saying over here a different idea. He's saying the word tzion is the Avodas Beis HaMikdash. Yinachem Hashem Esiyim, Hashem will give comfort. There will be autonomy for a period of time. Be'achare Hagolos Va'acharon Sheyiyeh Al Yidei Horo Miyim Sheyiglu Es Om Yerushalayim V'hoysa Shmama U'bochar Oid Birushalayim Le'osid Lavol Sheyeshuvu Bonecho Le'soicha. He's adding over here something which is a little bit more than what it said in the Mitzudos. He's adding over here, according to the Mitzudos, it's just poetic repetition. After the Bayis Sheni will be destroyed by the Romans, then Hashem will bring the Gula Ho'asid, the ultimate redemption, in Achris Hayamim, in times that we are living. And that's what it means. V'nicham Hashem Oid Es Siyoin U'bachar Oid B'Yerushalayim. The Malbim is saying, is going back and forth in time. He's saying that during the era of the Bayis Sheni, there's going to be a very great Tzara, the Tzara of the Yevanim. And the Yevanim did not exile the Jewish people. They just shut them down. They took away from them their service. They took away the ability to do avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They contaminated the Beis HaMikdash. He is suggesting that the word Tzion, we always have this discussion. What is the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim? The answer, there is no answer. It all depends on the context. That's what you get after after studying it more and more. There is no one catch-all, one answer that answers every question possible. Every time these two words are used, it's all the interpretation. It's subject. It is dependent upon the context. And according to the Malbim, in the context of this pasuk, Tzion means the avoidas Beis HaMikdash, the ability to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, to bring korbanos, to daven, to serve Hashem. This was suspended for a very significant period of time during, in the middle of the Bayis Sheni, through the influence of the Yevanim. We don't know exact details of what happened, but there's no question that the Mizbeach was contaminated and the Avoda stopped, because we know that when after the Chanukah, the whole Chanukah is Oz Egmar, Bashir Mizmar, Chanukas HaMizbeach. The name Chanukah means a renewal, the re-inauguration of the Mizbeach, rededication. The Mizbeach was demolished and a new Mizbeach was erected. So that's what he calls Tzion. Tzion in this context means the Avoidas Beis HaMikdash. Hashem will grant Nechama. What is the Nechama? He will allow, he will bring about a miracle where the Chashmonoim will prevail over the Misyavnim and the Yevanim, and they will rebuild the Mizbeach and they will restore the Avoida to its former glory. And what else is going to happen? There's going to be another Chorban. The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed entirely by the Romans. And 1,951 years later, there will be U'bachar Oid B'Yerushalayim. Hashem will restore the Beis HaMikdash as well in the end of days. So basically the Malbim we hear is, he's pretty much following in the same path as the Mitzudas, minor differences, and he learns the Kri V'Chsiv is Tikva, not Noveh. Now, let us go further.
This is all part of where it says in Bereishis, V'Revach Tosimu, Aladim Meforshim Darshan, that Pasuk, as the future, V'Revach Tosimu Ben Eder Uven Eder. To give them a little respite through the ages, there'll always be these calm periods just to give you a little respite.
To re-energize.
Right.
Batteries in order to be able to proceed further. Yes, yeah. Okay, now let's go to the next parak. Bo'eso es enai vo'ere. So therefore, we finished the first prophecy. Okay, we really learned this is really a good, this is quite an accomplishment to go through this sugya that we learned until in this first parak. The vision, a little introduction to Zechariah. We had a nice elaborate introduction to Zechariah with the first vision. The first vision, which we know as the Mefarshim told us, that Zechariah from all of the Sifrei Tanakh is the most esoteric. The visions are wild. The visions are beyond comprehension, obscure. They're obscure beyond our comprehension, and it's all subject to interpretation. And the first vision was horses, a white horse, a man riding on a man, an ish, who is riding on a white horse, followed by three sets of horses with riders, white horses, red horses, and horses called sedukim, which we learned simply means streaks, a mixture, different mixture of two colors, red and white. What is the interpretation? We basically learned two mahalchim. Either the four sets, the four different, one horse and the three horses represent the Dalid Malchios. And the other interpretation was of the Malbum, which is very satisfying, is the entire vision refers to Yavan, Alexander the Great, and his successors. It's the three divisions that came after Alexander the Great. And this is what is being shown to Zechariah. Zechariah is having a conversation with the Malach or with the Ish, different interpretations, different ideas, but the gist is to reveal what is coming next. Right now that he's living in the time of Parasumadai, Daryovesh Hamadi, and Daryovesh HaParsi, they're beginning to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we have this conversation, and in part of the discussion, at least according to the Malbim and the Mitzudais, they reveal from the conversation is revealed that this bias is only going to be around temporarily. It will be destroyed, but there will one day come another redemption, the redemption we are waiting for. Okay, now let's just go a little bit further. Let's see, we have some. I don't know how much time we have over here. Okay, just a little bit. Let's just start Perek Beis just a little bit. Vo'esa es einai. Here Zechariah says, I lift up my eyes. Vo'ere, and I see v'inei arba kironos. I see in front of me four kironos. What is a kironos? A horn. What is a horn? I mean, it means either a horn. It could mean the horn of an animal. It could mean a corner of a mizbeach, the kronos. What is the Karen? Does it mean, does Moshe Rabbeinu, Kikaran or Panav? Does a Jew have horns? Okay, they still, you go out of New York City, if you come in.
That's old news.
Okay, Karen, a horn. What does it mean? I saw four horns. Let's see. A horn, an animal.
Context,
yeah.
It's a power symbol.
Correct. It's a power symbol. A Karen.
It says by Tzidkiyah ben Knaana, he took a horn and
be'ele
tenagach et Aram, whatever it was there.
It was a symbol. Should we go?
The symbol. Yeah.
Should we go to war? Where Macalm refers to the story, where from the few times in Jewish history. The king of Yisrael was at peace with the king of Yehuda, and they were deliberating, should we go to war? Should we join forces in a coalition to go to war against Aram? And there was a false prophet, and he had a vision that they should, a false vision, that they should go to war, and to symbolize, to present a visual multimedia presentation of his vision, he made horns of iron, and he put on a show, a play, in front of the Melech Yisrael, the Melech Yehuda. But with these iron horns, you shall gore Aram. So a horn is a sign of power. What is the difference between a keren and a shofar? A keren is pure, solid cartilage. A shofar is hollow. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow a make-believe horn. We blow a horn that's hollow. A horn, a shofar, is really, what is a shofar? It is the rejection of a keren. An animal that has a keren means as pure, solid cartilage. That is dangerous. A horn that's solid, can you imagine that you take a shofar and you blow on Rosh Hashanah, make-believe the entire inside was the same as the outside. Rock hard. Can you imagine what kind of damage that can cause? If an animal takes that and shoves it into a battering ram. What's a battering ram? Okay, that's a man-made object, but it resembles the horns of an animal. They're lethal. The force an animal can use to thrust its horns that are made of solid cartilage is lethal. On Rosh Hashanah, we mimic a keren, but we don't use one that's solid, one that's hollow, and we produce a sound of a prayer, as if to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing in this world as Koichi v'oitzim yadi osli esachayel hazeh. We have no koyach. Look at our shofar. Look at our keren. Our keren is hollow. It's empty. What we're going to say to you, Hashem, Koichi v'oitzim yadi osli esachayel hazeh, it's a hollow statement. We take the equivalent of a keren, but we carve out the inside. There's nothing inside. And we take, there's nothing inside. And adarabba, in that hollowness, we produce tefillah. We acknowledge only you, Hashem, can bring the salvation. It's very powerful. If you look at a shofar in and of itself in a vacuum, it's very nice. But when you look at a shofar relative to a keren, a shofar has a whole new meaning. A shofar has a whole new meaning. And it ain't over here, Rabbi Yisai. Just because Rosh Hashanah is passed, we're still going to blow the shofar one more time. Motzohi Yom Kippur, we blow the shofar one more time. And what's that blowing? V'shavtem ish el achuzasai, Yovel. That's the shofar of Yovel, a zecher liyovel, when we return. When the land returns to its rightful owner, Eretz Yisrael, when we return, when slaves return to their owner, v'shavtem ish el achuzasai. It represents the only one that can bring about our restoration is Hashem. And all of our koyach, our power, the keren, which is symbolic of our might, is nothing. It's nothing. It's only, you take that keren, you reject it. How do you reject it? By using a shofar instead of the keren and producing the coil of tefillah to say there's no such thing as our own power. Everything comes only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here in the vision...
You get me an idea now that it doesn't say lishmoa tkiyat shofar. It's lishmoa kol shofar. Kol is usually a human being kol. And we say that tkiyat shofar is actually kol. The kol shel tefillah. It's not a tkiya. Some tkiya, it got ten b'chatzotzot also. So what? But kol shofar.
Kol of tefillah.
It's an idea.
So here we have. Let's do a little bit of one passage. But Esa and I, wherever he nay, arba kranois. And I said, Lamalcha deve be moile. What are these four koronos? Vayemer elai ela hakoronos asher zeru es Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. This is a very beautiful pasuk. Three words: Yehuda, Yisrael, and Yerushalayim. The word. What does it mean? The word. What does it mean? The word zeru, dispersed. These are the koronos that have dispersed. Let's see the Mitzudah Stavid. Just the Mitzudah Stavid, and we'll stop with that. Mitzudah Stavid. Vo'ere, I saw the Mare Hanavuah, Arba Kronos. Him remez li Arba Malchuyos, Hamenachim es Yishol Kibale Karnaim im Keren. Ramachol, is in your Sefer? Is in your Sefer? When is the next edition of your Sefer coming out? You already should have by now 120, he has 60 different references to Dal and Malchias, but over the years we've come across so many, you have to have a lot of new additions.
Yeah, little snippets.
It's a big Yisoides. Here is another reference to the Dalid Malchias. The Dal and Malchias, the four Koronos, which gore the Jewish people. And what do they all have in common? They dispersed us throughout the entire world. Rashi, Ele Hakaranois, Ele Humois, Asheba Abaruchas, Ashaman, these are the nations of the world in the four corners of the Shemaim, Asher Naku, Bekarnehem, Es Yehuda, Yushalayim, Ad Asher Zerum, until they have been dispersed. It is very interesting that on a Mizbeach, the Mizbeach has four corners. And on the four corners, we apply blood. Is there any connection? Is there any, do we have a right to take a lesson from what it says here in this Nevuah? He saw in a vision four horns, koronos. It's not a coincidence that the corners of the Mizbeach are called koronos, a keren. And on those koronos, we apply blood, atonement. Is there a connection as if to say that if he's learning over here in the Metzudas and Rashi, he's learned that the four koronos represent the Dalid Malchios? Is there some reference to say that the four corners of the Mizbeach represent the Dalid Malchios?
I hope not.
Can you say such a thing? And when we apply blood on these koronos, it's as if we're saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if he's saying, enough blood was spilled in the Jewish people because of these koronos, the Umos HaOlam. Enough, let the blood that we put on the koronos be a fulfillment of the galus. Let's just take a little step back. Yeah. When we talk about the Dalam Malchios, we like to talk about it linear, one after the other, one after the other. First is Bavel, after Bavel comes Yavon, Paras Madai, after Paras Madai comes Yavon, after Yavon comes Edom. But that's not the only pshat. There is a mahalach to understand is that each one has absorbed, each successor has absorbed within it its predecessors. In Edom is really all four. In Edom, there's an element of Edom that's built upon Bavel.
And it's Edom is equal or greater than the first.
But not equal. It's
no, but that's
part of their well. Part of their ideology includes the harm. So when we're in Golis now in Edom, we're really suffering from all of the Dalad Malchios. And if there's a Gezerah min HaShemayim that they should be able to cause us harm, when we put blood on the corners of the Mizbeach, it's as if we're saying to Hashem, let this be the fulfillment of the Gezerah. These koronos, the koronos which represent the Umos, and they're supposed to extract blood from us. So here's the blood. This is the fulfillment, and now Yavoi al Mekoimoi Bisholoim. You know what we say in Yeshiva? There's something called the Milchamta Shel Torah. If there's a Gezera in the world that is supposed to be Milcham, and Shammai in their Gezer, there's going to be Milchama, a war. If in Yeshiva, if Talmidei Chachamim battle each other, the Milchamta Shel Torah, the Gezera has been fulfilled. There's no need for any blood to be spilled. The war has been fought in the Beis Medrash. You don't have to go out into the battlefield with weapons and die. The war has been fought in the Beis Medrash. The Gezerah has been fulfilled l'toiv through a good war, the Milchamta Shel Torah. In the Koyach of Tzfilah, we bring Karbonos. Unashalma Farim Sifaseinu. When we bring Karbonos, Yom HaKippurim, we put blood on Yom Kippur. It's the only time you put blood on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZov. You put four applications. The Dam HaPar, the Dam HaSoir is applied to the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZov. If the four corners symbolically represent the Dalad, the Umay Soilam, as it says, I'm not making that up, it says it over here, And you can't make a coincidence and say that the corner of the Mizbech is, and it's called the Keren for nothing and blood. That is the fulfillment of Yadoya Teda Kiger Yezaracha the Eretz Lelohem Vavodim the Inu Yosam Arba Meoshana. It's done. And now we can go back and live our lives in peace. Can you say such a thing? Probably not. But we just did anyway. All right. Let's take a very short break and we're going to